All right, take your Bibles this morning, please. Turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of the Revelation, last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter 1, please. A lot of you have been asking me how I'm doing, and I'm doing great, and I feel good. I got my appetite back. I can't eat very much at one setting, but I do have my appetite back as of Saturday a week ago, and that's a good sign. And but I feel good, sleeping good, not getting up any good, but sleeping good. And of course, I never did get up well. But I'm doing good, so thank you for praying, and keep praying. I go to the National Institutes of Health on the 16th of May. I have to be there at 7:30 in the morning, and they said they'd be done with me about 1 o'clock or so. And looking forward to that. I think it's going to be interesting to see. I had seven doctors at Johns Hopkins stand in my room, all scratch their heads and say, "Oh, we don't understand this at all." And but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So anyway, just so you know, I am doing well, and I appreciate your continued prayer, of course. But I am doing well. All right, Revelation 1. I want to read two verses of Scripture, and I want to take one little thought from verse 9 and one little thought from verse 10, and I want to show them to you and then contrast between the two. All right, so you know what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to take one little phrase from verse 9, one little phrase from verse 10. I'm going to explain those little verses, little phrases to you, and then I'm going to make a contrast between the two for the message. Let's begin reading in verse 9, and in this verse we read, "I, John," this is the author of the book, the beloved apostle John, the same man that gave us the gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and now Revelation. "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." Now, if you keep reading, you will find out that this great voice that he heard was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus showed up while John was on the Isle of Patmos. All right, now, notice, if you will, in verse 9, he said in the middle part of the verse that he was in the island that is called Patmos. And then notice in verse 10, he said, "I was in the Spirit." Now, I want to entitle my message this morning, "In Patmos and in the Spirit." In Patmos and in the Spirit. Let's pray together and in the message. Our Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. And Father, we pray this morning that you will bless the preaching of your word. Father, it's a joy to be here this morning. There are multitudes of people across this planet that would give anything to be in a service like this. They would give anything to have the freedom and to have the liberty to be able to attend a service where a choir could sing and where some special music could be heard and where they didn't have to worry about someone crashing through the doors and placing them under arrest. But Lord, we have that freedom here, and I pray that we will not take it lightly. But Father, for the next 30 minutes, we will engage ourselves in the service and listen to what is being said, not only with our ears, but with our hearts. And Lord, may you speak to our hearts this morning. Give us spiritual ears that we may hear what thus saith the Lord today. And Father, I pray that you will draw each one of us into a closer walk of fellowship. I pray that the Spirit of God will have freedom to move and work in our midst. Draw us to yourself, and we will thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, as John is explaining his situation in this chapter, he makes two statements that I want to put together to make my point this morning. I want you to notice in the 9th verse, John says, I was in the isle that is called Patmos. But then he turns right around in the next verse, in the 10th verse, and he says, I was in the Spirit. Now, I want you to think about these two statements. These are two different environments. First, we have the Isle of Patmos, a rugged and harsh island out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. And you need to realize that back in New Testament times, Patmos was basically a penal colony. It was a jail. It was out in the middle of the Mediterranean. The only way to get there was by boat. And so it was used as a place where criminals were sent to work in the mines as punishment for the crimes they had committed against society. Patmos was a desolate, it was a dreary, it was a depressing place. Not because of its physical presence, no, actually, it's a very beautiful spot. It's almost tropical. But because of the kind of people that were there and the evil hearts that were in these people, it made it a dark and dreary place. The only way to get there was by boat. And with the Roman Empire's worst of the worst living there, it was the last place on earth that any rational person would want to find himself. But there is a second environment that is mentioned in the text that I have chosen this morning. The first was a physical. And then there's a second environment that is mentioned in verse 10. And this one was a spiritual environment. This one is an unseen environment. The second one was just as real as the first. It was just as vital, even more important than where he was physically, was where he was spiritually. So Patmos was the physical, the seen environment, and he was in the spirit. That's the spiritual, the unseen environment. And John says that he was in Patmos, but that he was in the Spirit. John was in a physical place, but he was also moving in a spiritual place. I like the way the Apostle Paul phrased this idea, this matter of living in the Spirit. He phrased it this way, a little bit more specific, when he said, we are living with Christ in the heavenlies. Living with Christ in the heavenlies. In heavenly places, if you will. In other words, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a saved person, I can live in the Spirit. I can have a heavenly environment. Now, there is one little delightful touch that reveals to the discerning heart, which was the real environment for John. Which one was the one that he appreciated? Which one was the one that he felt most at home with? He does not tell us that he was in Patmos, he said he was in the isle that is called Patmos. In other words, he had heard that name upon the lips of others, and he took it upon their authority that that's where he was. But he adds in verse 10, I was in the Spirit. And he didn't need anybody's authority for that. It was in this environment, in the environment of the Spirit, that John was completely at home. Now, two environments. And I want to contrast those two environments, which have their parallels in everyday life for you and for me. Let me show you what I mean. The first thing that I want you to consider this morning, one of them was visible and the other was unseen by human eyes. One of them was visible, Patmos, and the other was unseen by human eye, the spiritual. When John stirred in the morning and stepped outside to begin his day, he saw with his eyes a very shocking place where he would live out his final days. Now, don't forget that I said to you in the introduction of the message that Patmos was not a paradise. Oh, it may physically have been a very nice place, but it was not a paradise. It was desolate. It was a place of despair, inhabited by the criminal element. There was the debris of the mines laying everywhere as a reminder of the toil and the sweat that was staring them in the face every single day. And don't forget that John was sent to Patmos not as a commendation for living a good life. He was sent there as after miraculously surviving an execution attempt. Now, what I'm about to tell you, there is no biblical reference for it, but there is lots of historical evidence for it and a lot of tradition behind it. And really, when you think about it, it could very well be John's story. But the tradition says that John was executed, but the execution failed. The tradition says that John, once Mary died, our Lord's mother, once she died, John went back into the ministry. And when he did, he ended up being the pastor at the church in Ephesus. And this was a great, thriving church. And the Romans said to him that you cannot preach this gospel any longer. And John refused to be silent. And so they sentenced him to die. And tradition says that they took John and threw him into a boiling cauldron of oil. Now you think about that. They took a great big cauldron, filled it full of olive oil, built a fire underneath it, got it boiling, and then heaved him over into this boiling cauldron of oil. And when they did, tradition says, that it tipped over. And when it tipped over, it spilled him out onto the ground, and miraculously, John survived the ordeal. Now, the Romans had a double jeopardy clause in their law, and so they could not re-execute somebody that they had executed, even though he did not die. And so what they did was they put him on a ship, and they took him out to Patmos to spend the rest of his days so that he would not preach that gospel any longer. Now, imagine what he would have looked like, and imagine what he felt like after being thrown into boiling oil. Imagine the pain. Imagine the scarring. Imagine the infections. And then to wake up each day and be on this desolate rock out in the middle of the sea, you can just imagine, with no hope of getting off, no hope of escape. And had that been all he had, just think about what depression and discouragement would have been in his heart. Folks, if all he had to look forward to every day for the rest of his life was Patmos, I'm sure that it would have been one of the most depressing times that he had ever spent in his life. But the amazing thing is that the moment that he awoke on this Sunday morning, the moment that he got out of bed on this Lord's Day, on this Sunday morning, he was conscious of another environment in which he was living. Physically, he was on Patmos, but spiritually, he was in the Spirit. And I guess the question that we need to ask ourselves daily is, are we aware of the unseen realm that is ours as we awaken and start each day? Oh, I know it's easy to recognize the Patmos where we find ourselves. It is easy to recognize the physical place where we are. But are we aware of the spiritual place? You know, there are multitudes of folks that get up each and every day and they start each and every day of their lives with dread and despair. There are folks everywhere who are affected by this economy in which we're living. There are numbers of people who have lost their homes, and their lifestyle has dramatically changed. You look at our economy. You look at the food prices. You look at gasoline prices. You look at the cost to heat and cool your home. You look at your poor physical health. You look at your broken heart. You look at your disappointments, and the list just goes on and on and on for the things that can wear us down and make life such a daily grind. But what a profound difference it makes when we can get up and face the day, and when we are awakened to a spiritual environment. What a difference that makes. Oh, we're still in Patmos. We're still in Patmos. That has not changed, and that's not going to change. As a matter of fact, folks, I think that it is probably going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. See, I mean, we're still in Patmos, but the dreariest Patmos becomes bearable when the life is hid with Christ in God. So notice the contrast. I was in Patmos, but I was in the Spirit. Then there's a second thing I want you to think about. One environment was not of John's choosing. The other was all of his choosing. You see, he did not have a choice about whether or not he could or did not have to live on Patmos. That was decided for him. He did not have a choice in that matter. And I submit to you that if John had a choice in the matter, he would have never chosen to live on Patmos. Never would have. I mean, he had lived a long life. John is an old man when he was taken to the island to live. He has lived a long life, a full life. He had no doubt reached that point in his life where he was probably looking for retirement, where he was probably looking for peace and quiet and a little rest. I mean, he was probably thinking about that fishing hole down the road, you know. He was probably thinking of going down to the senior citizens activity center and enjoying a little fellowship with some of his friends. He no doubt knew that his time on earth was quickly winding down. He no doubt knew that the sun was setting upon his life and career. So you can be sure, folks, that the last place in the world that he would have chosen to live was in the Isle of Patmos. Now, let me tell you a little bit about John. After our Lord's death, you will remember that he was given the responsibility of taking care of our Lord's mother, Mary. And after she died, John went to pastor the church at Ephesus. He had a great church there, a thriving church. There were a lot of great men of God who sat under John's ministry, who carried on the gospel in the next generation because of John's love for God and because of his influence. And he had a great church there. And no doubt there were many people who loved him dearly. But then suddenly, the mighty arm of Rome reached out and grabbed him and carried him away into exile. And he woke up from that day forward, each day in that dreadful place called Patmos. But you need to realize that there was a greater power than John that sent him there. It was the might and power of Rome that sent him to this island. He had no choice in the matter. And there was no use in trying to resist the power and strength of that mighty arm. What Rome did to him, he was powerless to resist. But you can be assured that Patmos was never on John's list of places to retire to. He would not have wanted or chosen to go there. Instead, he was forced. But now think of this. In Patmos, where he was forced to dwell, we see him moving into another place. Think of it, folks. He was a prisoner, yet he was at liberty. He was bound, yet he was free. You see, the Bible tells us, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In the bitter bondage of his exile, the Son had made him free. And let me tell you something, folks. As it was with John, so it is with us. We do not choose the country where we're born. God chooses that for us. We do not choose our parents. God chooses our parents. We do not choose our brothers. God chooses our brothers. We do not choose our sisters. The devil chooses our sisters. No, I'm kidding on that. You heard the story about the bank robber came into the bank, and he said he had a mask on, and he said, "This is a stick up." He said, "Everybody on the floor," and they all hit the floor, and there was a family in the bank, and they all hit the floor. And this one lady was on her way down, she reached up and grabbed the mask and pulled it off. And that robber turned around and he said, "I'm going to shoot whoever saw me." And this little boy spoke up and said, "I think my sister got a pretty good look at you." No, it's God that chooses our sister. We don't choose the place where we're born. God chooses that for us. We don't choose our families. God chooses that for us. We do not choose our physical environment. It is what it is. But let me tell you something, Christian. How we live in our physical environment is another thing completely. How we choose to live. I'm saying to you that one environment was not of John's choosing, but the other was all of his choosing. And I'm here today to tell you that when life gives you something that is not appealing, or life gives you something that is difficult or desolate like a Patmos, let me tell you something, Christian. In the Spirit is the key for being happy in that environment. In Patmos, we can be in the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I probably don't. But I do know that in the Spirit makes a world of difference. For in the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. We can have liberty and rest in our Patmos, even if we have been set there by forces beyond our control. In other words, folks, regardless of your situation, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your physical environment, every believer has the blessed privilege of living above it all. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The sharp contrast between life's compulsion and the heart that triumphs in the midst of it is all found in these two little phrases. I was in the isle that is called Patmos. I was in the Spirit. You see, you choose which environment is going to be the one that governs your life. Man, I talk to people all the time. I'm gonna preach more about it next Sunday night. But I preach more. I've been hearing more from preachers around the country, pastors. I've been hearing from church members. And one pastor said to me just recently, he said, brother, are you trying to get all your folks signed up to vote? And I said, I always try to get all of our folks signed up to vote. Every year, every election, I push it. I remind them, go register. Make sure you get out to vote. If you don't vote, don't gripe. And I said, I always do that. He said, well, I'm telling you, brother. He said, if Obama wins this next election, he said, I'm going to go to the mission field for 4 years. Oh, listen, folks, choose your environment, would you? Yeah, it's Patmos anymore. We all realize that. We all see that. Our country is spiraling out of control. We all recognize that. But wait a minute, you're a believer. Let's get in the Spirit and let's let the power of the Holy Spirit enable us to triumph over our Patmos that we have to face every day. Amen. Then there's a third thing I want you to notice. You're going to get out early today. There's a third thing I want you to notice. Thirdly, I want you to notice that in these two environments, there is a stark contrast between loneliness and never being lonely. I can imagine that John was never more lonely than when he was on this island with all of these desperate and despicable criminals. What did the Apostle John, the beloved disciple, the one that leaned his head over on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper, the one that stood at the foot of the cross with his arm around Mary, what in the world did he have in common with any of those thugs on that island? Nothing. Nothing. What did he have in common with the thieves and the murderers and the crazy people that were sent there so that society would be rid of them? I dare say that he was more lonely than had he been the only person on the island. In the physical environment, he was alone. But in the spiritual environment, he was never alone. In verse 9, in Patmos, he was alone. But in verse 10, he was never alone, for the Lord was there. And he knew that it was the Lord. He saw him clothed in all of his majesty and splendor and glory in his glorified, resurrected body. And he knew that it was the Son of God. The text tells us that while he was in the Isle of Patmos in his darkest hour, old and all alone, and his heart full of fear, suddenly he had a vision, and the Lord Jesus was by his side. He was now in living touch with his ascended living Savior. He had a friend by his side who knew what it was like to suffer loneliness. Can I remind you that when the Lord Jesus was hanging on Calvary's cross, the Bible tells us that all the rest of the disciples fled. You remember that? It says, and the disciples fled. And I want you to picture in your mind's eye right now the Lord Jesus hanging on that cross. I want you to picture the blood dripping from his hands, blood dripping down his face from the crown of thorns. I want you to imagine the blood just dripping off of his feet. And he looks out over that crowd, and Peter is nowhere to be found. He looks out over to the right, and there's no Andrew to be found anywhere. He looks over to his left, and there's no Levi anywhere. Scanning the whole crowd, he sees one disciple. And he is right at the foot of the cross. He's got his arm around Mary, holding her up and comforting her as she watches her son suffer and die. And Jesus spoke up and he looked down at John and Mary and he said, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." You see, Christ was the firstborn in the family. He was her first son. And when Joseph died, it was then our Lord's responsibility to take care of Mary. Now he's on the cross. And so he gives that responsibility to John. Don't you find it strange that in the book of Acts, just a short time, John disappears from the text. John's gone. If you didn't know, you would read the book of Acts and say, "Well, wow, what happened to John?" And you have to keep reading until you get over to Revelation to figure out what happened to John. I tell you what happened to him. He was doing what he was told to do by Jesus on the cross. That's why he's not in the book of Acts. He was taking care of Mary. And then when she died, he's now up in years. But when she's gone, he enters back into the ministry. And he ends up in Ephesus pastoring the church that the Apostle Paul started. And now we get to the end of the Bible, and here is John, the beloved disciple, exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And he's alone. It was not of his choosing. He is on this island and he's alone. And I submit to you folks that it's almost like what happened here in this chapter. It's almost like the Lord Jesus is returning the favor to John. You see, John stood by our Lord in his darkest and loneliest hour. And now in Revelation, it's almost like the Lord Jesus is returning the favor to John. It is almost like the Lord was saying, "John, you stood by me when I was alone on the cross, when all the rest of the disciples fled, you were there." And you have no idea how comforting it was to me to see you standing there beside my mother and giving her strength. And now, John, in your lonely trial, in your lonely hour, I am going to be here by your side. And I submit to you that that made all the difference in the world to John. He could face Patmos now. He could face it. He had something that nobody else had. Even the loneliness of Patmos became bearable for John when he knew that Jesus was there. Oh, he would certainly see his physical world now through a whole new perspective, don't you think? I mean, he would move among all those horrible criminals and thieves and robbers and murderers and rapists. He would move among them as a man who had something that none of the rest of them had. They didn't have what John had. They were all in Patmos just like John was, but they hated being there. But the reason they hated it so was because they had no other environment upon which to lean. They had no place of refuge for their souls. But John, a believer in Christ, had the Spirit, who came with a fellowship that made even the awful Isle of Patmos like the Garden of Eden. You ever been around strangers for a little while, and then they look at you and they say, there's something different about you. What is it? What is it about you? When I was down at Hopkins, one of my nurses was a little short-complected gal, about that big, little tiny thing, looked like she should have been home playing with dolls rather than walking around needles in her hands. She came in and was checking my IV and taking my vitals and she struck up a conversation, started talking, and then she left and she came back because I'd asked her to bring me something to drink, and so she came back in and was apologizing, and I said, oh, don't worry about that, that's all right, I'm still here. And she stopped and she looked over and she said, there's just something different about you. What is it about you? And I said, well, I can tell you what's different. Christ makes all the difference in the world. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I know the Lord. I walk with Him. And as a matter of fact, I pastor a church in Westminster, Maryland. And she said, I knew there was something different about you. Yeah, Christ makes a difference, folks. These men hated being there because they had no other environment. And I've had people say, I just hate my life. I hate my life. I hate what life has done to me. I've heard that so many times. Let me tell you something. As a believer, why don't you quit focusing upon your Patmos and get over in the Spirit? And all of a sudden, you'll start liking the way things are. You see, God makes no mistakes. God knows what He's doing. And let's let God be God. Listen, if I had my way, that bunch wouldn't be in the White House. If I had my way, that bunch in Congress wouldn't be in Congress. But I don't always get my way. I don't always get my way, and neither do you always get your way. Boy, if I had my way, I wouldn't have this illness. What sane person among us would? But you see, we need to let God be God. And you get over in the Spirit, and even in Patmos, you'll find it bearable. You'll find it bearable. These men had no place of refuge for their soul. None. Now I need to ask you, is there another environment for you? Do you have another environment to which you can flee? We could start over here on this side. Start with the Smith boys over here, and we could work our way all the way around and come all the way over in this section and that section, and all you folks in this section and all you folks over here and over here in the corner, all you guys up there, all we could just take the microphone and say, all right, your turn, come on up. And boy, by the time, I'm going to give you all 5 minutes, 5 minutes. Well, we'd be here for a month, but I'm going to give you all 5 minutes. Tell us your story. And by the time we were done, we'd all be so depressed, we wouldn't know what to do with ourselves. We'd all be looking for an aspirin, wouldn't we? Sedative. Oh, my. This would be one of the most depressing places in Carroll County. All of us have a Patmos. I mean, we could go around the room and interview everybody. We would think there's no use in going on another day. But let me tell you something. If you're saved, you have a promise from a Savior. If you know the Lord as your personal Savior, you have a promise from God Himself that He will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you will get a dictionary and look up the word never, you'll find out it means never. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's good to know. That is real good to know. Can I remind you that the Bible says in Jesus, we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Can I remind you that the Lord Jesus Himself said to His own disciples just before He ascended to heaven, He said, and lo, I am with you alway. Not always, alway. All the way. I am with you alway, even unto the end of the earth. He's going to be with you. Case closed. But that environment is your choosing. Patmos is not. But in the Spirit is. I hope you will choose. You say, well, Pastor, how do you do that? It starts with a conscious decision of submitting yourself to the Spirit of God. And then daily, you're in this book. You're reading and you're learning the God of heaven. You're getting to know the God that has redeemed your soul from a devil's hell. You're getting to know His heart and His mind. And right here is where you find that in this book. You're not going to find it on television. You're not going to find it on the radio. But you will find it right here. You get in your Bible and you read it. You get in a good church where you are hearing the gospel and where you are growing, and you have a Sunday school class that you can learn the Bible in. You have a Sunday night service and a Wednesday night service and a place where you can grow as a believer. And you just daily make up your mind in the Spirit, in the Spirit. I'm going to walk in heavenly places. Christ in me. And me in Christ. And your life becomes an in the Spirit. You still got Patmos, but now you got help. And man, that's what we all need. I was in Patmos. I was in the Spirit. What a contrast. May God bless this to our hearts.